Hi, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Rabbi. I'm having some trouble with the sound. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just told Carolyn I'm making a cup of coffee. I wish I could make for everybody.
Okay. So we're now in Koheles. We are continuing in chapter 7, and we're up to verse 13. And we spoke last week, we talked about how we entered into the topic of wealth. And we did a couple of verses on that, but it was 9 through 12. Right, we talked about people shouldn't think about the good old days or any better because nothing has really changed. So to make a statement that the earlier days were better than now is, we said, why does he say that the person didn't ask this using wisdom? Because he's not. We got some feedback. If you just, whoever can put on the mute buttons, please. All right, put on your mute buttons, please. Okay, thanks. So we said that a person is making a statement that the older days, the good old days, they were better there, you know, they were more successful, people had it better. They're not doing an act of observing, which is necessary to be considered a wise person. A wise person takes into consideration the factors and that's the natural law included. And nothing has changed in natural law. So therefore, the person to say that, you know, the earlier days were better is fooling himself. That's why the critique is he's not using wisdom. Then we went on to verse 11. And that really what a person should do is it's good if a person uses wisdom, and if he has money to work with as well, that's even better. And we'll see how Ibn Ezra brings it up again. And he observes how things happen under the sun. So he works with, that's the right way to do it, is to work with natural laws. You see, 11 comes to counter, to be a response to the false assumptions in 10. And then he goes on to 12, and he says that in the shade of wisdom. So that's a phrase to mean that when you're operating with wisdom, like you're underneath the canopy, the shade of wisdom, so then you'll also be in the shade of success, because wisdom is necessary in order that a person achieves success. It's not going to happen if a person is not following rational principles, natural law. Okay, so now we're up to our new verse, 13. So he says as follows. He says, see the works of God, because who is able to fix that which he has made crooked? Verse 14, we're just going to do two verses today. In verse 14, in the day that is good, you should be in a good state of mind. And in the day that is not good, that's evil, view this in contrast to this, that God has made an order that a person should not have anything at the end. The person should not have something at the end. We have to see it. The last part of the verse is vague, just reading it straight. So you see how crucial it is to have the commentaries. But he says again, the two verses again are in our 13, says, see the works of God, who is able to fix that which he has made crooked, that which God made crooked. In a day that's good, be in a good state of mind. In a day that is evil, view this in contrast to this, that God has done this on account that a person shouldn't have anything at the end. Whatever that means. We have to go into that. All right, so it's a cryptic verse. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I just asked a question on the facts. So the translation that I have on the end of verse 14 says, God has made one corresponding to the other, to the end that man will find nothing after him, and they've capitalized him referring to God. Is that the same as what yours is, or are we talking about different interpretations of the text?
It could be interpreted that way. That he won't find like any complaint after God. Or it could be also won't find anything after himself. But that actually probably makes more sense.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's what Rashi actually says that. That he shouldn't be suspicious or have any type of complaint against God. So in order that he doesn't have a complaint against God, so he says that you should see this on the day of evil. Look at this in contrast to that. I mean, you compare two things. So we have to see what are the two things he's comparing. And it has something to do with the day of evil, too. Okay. Now, of course, why is he bringing this up? He was just talking about, monetary considerations. And we concluded last week that although monetary is important, but he concluded verse 12 by saying, but better off even greater benefit is the wisdom, that it gives life to its owner.
The person. Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yes.
When it says in verse 13, my translation says, observe God's doing, for who can straighten what he has twisted. I was wondering, are we talking about like when a bad situation happens to a person? Because a person who's twisted, that would be his own free will. Right?
Right, it could be. Do you have any of the commentaries there?
No.
So let me read you a few. This way we're, on the same playing field here. Okay, so Rashi says as follows. He says, look at the works of God. So Rashi says how they can be fixed. Everything is according to the workings of man. Like you're saying, Francesca, that heaven will be for the righteous and Gehenna, punishment, will be for the wicked. And then select which one you want to cleave to. Right? So he says, who can now fix this? Meaning after death, Rashi says, that which a person has made crooked in his life. So if he had sinned in his life and he didn't repent, so then there's no repentance after death. So that's Rashi's take on it. Okay. Ibn Ezra has a completely different view. And the Sforno seems to be similar to Rashi. Ibn Ezra says as follows, though. He says, a wise person that has no inheritance or money, he should still be happy with his wisdom, and he should not be angered because of any matter, because of his property, actually. Because this is already decreed upon him, that which was decreed in the 6 days of creation. And those who understand the workings of the heavens, they too will understand. And he says the explanation means, when it says, that which God created to do, in Genesis, Asher bara Elokim la'asos. So it says over there in the beginning chapter of Genesis, the words, that which God had done, that God had created to do, meaning to say that God has done this, and he put into the workings of all, the forces of nature, And when a person who's the arrangement that he faces in his life is somehow not sufficient, an example being if a person doesn't have enough money or some other matter, there is no fixing of it. So Ibn Ezra's view over here is not saying that, like Rashi, that which is crooked, meaning if you had a crooked life, so after death, there's no fixing of it. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about while you're alive. He's saying that there are certain things that are in nature, certain things that are a person who understands the workings of the heavens, he sees that there's certain laws, certain things that are fixed, and they have to have certain results, a certain outcome due to it. And therefore, he says a wise person who does not have either inheritance and he doesn't have any money, neither one, no inheritance, no money, he will not be angry at this. He'll be happy in his wisdom. So, of course, according to Ibn Ezra, why is this verse coming on the heels of the previous discussion we had last week? And he talks again here in this commentary how the workings have been set in motion in the 6 days of creation. And the people understand the workings of the heavens. They understand what it means that which God created to do, meaning that God set certain laws in place. Well, actually, all laws were set in place at the conclusion of the 6 days of creation, of Genesis. And he's saying, due to all this, the person who will not have any anger at the fact that he may not have money, and he may have a certain situation. And that he's probably, he's like a poor person, he says. No, the wise person will be happy with his wisdom. Okay. So why is he bringing this in? Well, what's his lesson over here? What's Ibn Ezra's lesson? Rashi is easy to understand. Why he brings it in, at this point, I don't know. I don't know why Rashi brings it in. King Solomon has the right if he wants to disperse different ideas at different points. But if we can find the reason why it fits in the context, I think that's better. And I think if we go according to Ibn Ezra, we'll be able to see that. Because you see, Ibn Ezra is talking about the fact that he's talking about the monetary issues. So that means it's a continuation of what we said last week, what we were discussing last week. So you see that on the one hand, King Solomon said last week that the person uses wisdom in verse 11. Good is wisdom with an inheritance. That means he uses intelligence and he has some initial investment to work with. And also, and even better, is that he watches what occurs under the sun. Meaning he follows natural law. He plants in the right season, harvests in the right season. So there are certain laws, there are certain things that take place and he has to work with it, he has to use wisdom. However, what he now tells you is that it could be that there are certain circumstances that come up and they're not in your control. And he says, look at the works of God, who can correct that which is crooked? Meaning if you may do your best, but let's say that there's a flood, or there's a storm, or there's something, and there's a drought. So that's something which is outside of your control. And how do you relate to that? How does the person relate to that? Does he get angry? Ibn Ezra says no. Ibn Ezra says that if he has enough, a person is wise, and of course only a wise person can do this, because a fool is going to be angry when things don't go his way. He's looking to have his emotions satisfied, and when they're not, he expresses himself like a child, and he has a tantrum. But a wise person, although he has no inheritance and although he has no money, he is gladdened in life because of the wisdom. Why? How could that be? Because he recognizes what is of real value. He understands the very temporal state of money and how some have and some lose and some don't have and some gain, but that itself is not something which is really most essential to the person. What's most essential to the person, to the design of a human being, is the soul. That's how we're set apart from everything else. So that must be where our primary distinction is, and that's what must be the area that God wishes us to engage and to focus on. And a wise person understands this, and he involves himself in wisdom, and the joy he gets from that completely obscures the type of the enjoyments that people get for money and the fantasies that they chase. And the truth is, he needs very little. Even if he's hungry one day and he hasn't eaten for a whole day, so it's not the worst thing in the world. He actually can rise above that and tolerate a certain amount of poverty, because his real energies are not rooted in the physical or in terms of measuring up to other people. So he does not get angry because of his poverty state, Ibn Ezra says. And he also has an understanding of appreciation. The next part of Ibn Ezra says, he understands that things were set in place because of the 6 days of creation. So tomorrow, if there's a storm, it has to be that way based on how God put everything into the works at the beginning of time. So he doesn't fight against what he knows must be. It's just the opposite. He appreciates. If it's raining and it ruins his field, so he understands that this has to be. To look at this very subjectively, I was affected about this, you know, because of this. And I mean, it has to be. A person who understands reality does not get bent out of shape when something in reality that has to be will hurt him financially. All right, so I lost some money. But he's more attached to the reality of how God created the universe, and he realizes this must be. There must be storms at times. There must be drought at times. That's part of how the world has to operate. Without these elements in nature, the whole world would not exist.
Rabbi?
Yes.
So, I take it then that on 13, where it's, my translation says, see God's work for who can straighten out what he made crooked, the he is interpreted to be Hashem.
That's right.
Now, in the Judaic and Press edition, they have a lowercase h on the he, which suggests that it's the person. And is that the difference in interpretations, or is it clear from the text that it's one or the other?
No, it's got to be God, because he's talking over here. And we found a very big error over Tisha B'Av on the book of Eka, Lamentations. Is the verse in English completely is opposite to what it really means. So it's important that you bring this up so we can really flesh it out. If you read the verse, it says, look at the works of God. Who is able to straighten out that which he has made crooked? All the commentators are going on the explanation that God is the one that made it crooked. And who, meaning man, what man can affect that? So who is able to straighten out, that's talking about man. But what he made crooked, the he of the making crooked is God. So that has to be the explanation.
But doesn't Rashi say, in the brief summary of Rashi that I have, it says after death, or on the words for who can straighten out, it says after death, that which he, lowercase h, made crooked during his life.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. I got to retract that. You're right. Right. According to Rashi, you're correct. I'm so focused on Ibn Ezra, I completely forgot what I read 2 minutes ago.
Okay. So, but Ibn Ezra thinks it's Hashem.
Yes. Right. You're correct.
Yeah, and Mitzvah David apparently takes the same position as Ibn Ezra.
Oh, yeah?
At least as far as the he.
That's what he says. He says, look, gaze at the works of God. Kmohem Mishur. Yeah, who from amongst the sons of man is able to straighten the matter?
So we have another question here.
But no, even Mitzvah David says it's like Rashi. If you read it, he says that who is able to fix that which is crooked? But God, blessed be he, is able to fix the matter which people had crooked, made crooked with their sins in their generation. Like, for example...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really different than the English translation that I have.
Okay. Yeah, he says, I'll read it again, he says, who of the sons of man is able to fix a matter which was made, which was destroyed or ruined? But God, blessed be He, is able to fix a matter which was made crooked with the sins of that generation. And it's like it's written by the rabbis on Rosh Hashanah, on the beginning of the year.
Okay.
If with the sin of the generation there has been a decree of rain, there should be very little. And after this, people improve their ways. So God will then fix the decree. Because He will bring down that little rain, He'll now bring it down in its due time. So really the little rain should have been something which, you know, was throughout the year, and it would have been too little to have any benefit whatsoever, because if you just have a little rain each month, forget it, but if you have a little rain at the right time of the year, it all comes down at once, so that means God will take that decree and then improve it. He'll make it better. Okay, go ahead. You said you had another question.
Well, it may have been answered, but... The question relates to this in that at least some of the commentators seem to be referring to, you know, things like a drought or whatever as God having made something crooked. But isn't that part of reality too? So what makes it crooked?
Oh, the crooked here means to say that it's to the, it's not the optimum state for man. Here, crooked means something which is not. For example, crooked would mean the wise man who has no money. He has no inheritance. And he has no money. So that's crooked in the sense that it would be better if he had money.
I get it. Okay.
Okay. But you see Ibn Ezra's lesson. You go back to Ibn Ezra again. His lesson is very important because he's trying to focus the person on the right attitude, that the person should really have happiness. So he's saying an intelligent person, a wise person, is not going to be, if he knows he's doing all the right things, he's making the right moves. So if he's born without inheritance and he has no money currently, as long as he's doing the best moves he can, so he's not upset. He's got his wisdom, he enjoys his learning, and that's really the focal point of his... of his life. And he understands also, he appreciates reality, it has to be this way. I knew somebody, a friend of mine, he had passed away years ago, a young guy, and he had cancer. And the thing that was amazing about him, that somebody quoted, I didn't hear him say it himself, I used to see him a lot. And, you know, he had cancer, and he would say, why not me? Like everybody says, why me? Why me? Why did it have to happen to me? But he said, why not me? Which was a tremendous level. I mean, that he really understood that he has no, you know, exemption from, you know, what happens in life in terms of physical ailments. So that tremendous lesson. And that's what the same thing is over here. Same thing over here is that the wise person, he does not get upset because of certain circumstances. He understands it has to be this way based on how nature works, based on how God created the world. Certain things have to pan out a certain way. So, but most people are not like that. Most people get very caught up with the me, the now, and they can't step outside of themselves. They also don't have the enjoyment of learning that they can really do anywhere at any time. If a person had that, they had the enjoyment of learning. They always had, I think the rabbis say that the person should always be very fluent in like one of the tractates. So this way, at any time, when he has free time, and he has no books with him, he can just sit back and think and go over what he learned and think about new insights. So if a person has that, He's got his real happiness. Okay. So you see here, again, the reason why he brings this up now is because last week he was talking about how a person who works with nature, who works with natural law, he will be successful. In the shade of wisdom is the shade of success. However, this verse teaches us now not everything works out perfectly all the time. Okay, so now we understand why he brings this up. It's necessary to mention this. Now he goes, any questions or comments at this point? We'll go on to the next verse now.
Rabbi?
Yep.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm hearing the other people clearly, but I'm hearing your voice garbled. Is there anything that you can do to clear it up?
Not really. I've got the phone right next to me.
Okay.
I'm not sure why it's coming out the way.
I don't know why. The other people are clear. All right, it's okay. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm hearing it.
All right. How's it sound for everybody else?
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
Me too.
Let me try this. All right, tell me if this is any better.
No.
You want me to, I can hang up and call back in.
No, I actually might recommend that you try that.
Okay. I'm glad you came up with the idea first. Okay. We can have fun. Okay, I'll call right back in.
Thank you for using conferencetown.com. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign. If you are the moderator, please press 1. Otherwise, please enter the moderator PIN number followed by the pound sign. There are currently 5 other participants in the conference.
On our end, but you're all clear.
Okay, how does this sound any better now? How's this now?
Rabbi?
Is this sound any better now?
No.
No, it's almost kind of a little cutting in and out, really.
Maybe
you were scuba diving or something.
Underwater.
Let's see. I'm wondering if you want to try to pick up the sound on the internet, because it's, you know, I'm piping it through online too. Maybe the sound there will be better.
Okay, I'll try that. Okay.
You know, does everybody know where to go to get that online?
We'll keep on the phone. We're not in a place to do that.
Okay. All right. So, we're up to now verse 14. Okay. So he says, in a day that's good, be in a good state of mind. In a day that is evil, meaning something bad went on. So he says, look at this in contrast to this. What does he mean? So according to, I think it's a Sforno on this one, I did not really grasp Ibn Ezra's point here. But I'll read you the Sforno. Sforno basically says that he says on a day that is good, so on a day when God pours out to you, he extends to you, blessed be he, goodness, so be in a good state and strive to acquire and your soul to be an eternal soul, because that's really the only real good. And if a day comes where you have afflictions, certain negative things happen, so look at the cause of them and investigate your actions and remove the sin that's the cause of the afflictions. And this will be, this is what is referred to as repentance. And then he says, now look at this as opposed to this. Look in contrast to the two things. What are the two things? He says, therefore, insofar as God does not add punishments more than what's fitting, but he really gives you punishment that is of the same gender of the sin, which is called measure for measure, he says. He does this, right? He says at the end of the verse that the person shouldn't find anything afterwards, meaning the person shouldn't find any source of complaint against God for the afflictions, and meaning in a manner where he may not understand why they're happening. No, God gives you afflictions that are of the same type of sin. So if a person sinned with his money and he finds all of a sudden he lost money, so then that's done in order to indicate to him where the source of his sin is. And God does that in the order that the person has no complaint. The person should investigate and they'll see that there's a relationship between the punishment and what the crime was. Because if he has a sin of money, but then he gets afflicted somehow in his body or something like that, he can't connect the two, and then he's got a complaint against God. Well, why? You know, what's the reason I'm getting this? So he's giving a lesson over here in terms of how God works, in terms of measure for measure. Okay, so it seems to be outside of the realm of the monetary. He moves on to a new topic. But now it's still similar to the previous verse, in that the previous verse, a person who observes the way nature works will not have complaints. He'll understand that this drought had to happen, and he understands that things there's a certain set forces of nature. But not only does nature work a certain way, and there's a system to it, and a design that appeals to the person's mind, but also God works that way. So perhaps that's why he's bringing this in now, to show the reader that there's also a design here too. Okay, everybody see that? Second, let's take a look at Ibn Ezra again, because it was a little bit hard to grasp what you're saying. So the two verses deal with natural law and with providence. That's what the 13 and 14 are addressing.
Providence?
Yes.
Is natural law or providence, you still need to introspect if something bad happens, whether it's through the laws of nature or measure for measure?
Do you have to trace it back? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like in the example of, sometimes you just lose money just because that's the way things are. And sometimes you lose money because you do something. How do you know the difference?
Right, well, if you can see a connection, the Talmud says, and the rabbis are saying, like Sforno says here, if you can see a connection between something negative in your life and something that, some sin, so then you don't know for sure that God did it. The only time you know for sure that God did something is if there's a miracle. But if it could be explained naturally, but at the same time you see a connection, it could be that God did do it. You don't know for sure. But in either case, you can benefit by realizing some error that you made. So you correct the error. So you can't know for sure. Again, without seeing an outright miracle, you don't know if it's just nature taking its course or if it's God stepping in, working within nature to give you a push in the right direction. But in either case, if you benefited by observing and reflecting your past, and you saw there's some sin, some error, so if you could benefit, so that's the bottom line. That's the second case. In the first case, we were talking about, you know, if you don't have money, you don't have an inheritance, so that's even before your time, so that could not have been due to you. So then that's, you know, it can be traced back just to, you know, how things worked out. You know, your ancestors, but there was nothing, you weren't a target in that case in terms of any instruction because those factors were in place, you know, long before. If there's a drought that happened, I mean, you can't say it's you. The way the weather works, the way the cycle of the weather over the millennia, this weather pattern had to be, you know, what took place on that day. All right, so it's, any other questions? Is that clear, Francesca?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what I had today. This, we got a few more moments, you know, moments. If there's any more, questions either on this or on another topic, we can take that up for a few minutes. Yeah, in terms of the tsunamis and those type of events, I remember Rabbi Chait speaking about that. The things that had to happen. So a person understands how the plates that they call their tectonic plates at the base of the ocean. So if there's a shift and there's tremendous force, it moves the water suddenly in a certain way. There has to be waves. So that's how the forces, you know, those are necessary in terms of the existence of the earth. If there's something which affects Israel, something that affects Israel, so then that's something which is like a drought. So Maimonides talks about that. That would be something which is divine. Just trying to think. There's one. Of those
Why points. Is that?
Because that's something which is there's always providence over the nation of Israel. That's always. Can we explain it? That's a separate point, whether you can explain it or not.
Does that mean that everything that happens to Israel is a result of providence, or just that if something happens to Israel, it could be God's
No, my understanding is that it is providence. I mean, if something happens to the whole nation, like the Holocaust, or the temples being destroyed, if it's not affecting Israel, if there's something in the world, so it would seem to be, you know, if God wants to give a message to a people, I mean, the paradigm we have is where God sends Moses to Paro, and he tells him exactly when something is going to happen. In order that they shouldn't just look at it as nature, he gives a prediction of the time and what exactly is going to take place. So it seems if God wants there to be information that, you know, you're doing this, he'll do that, or he'll send like a prophet like Jonah to Nineveh, to the great city of Nineveh, and he'll warn them, you know, through prophecy that they're going to be getting destroyed if they don't repent. But if it's not that, I mean, those are the ways that, you know, that God works. So then, if it's not being delivered that way, it's just a natural occurrence, and we see no miracle at hand, we see no prophet, so then it's nature. But you have all the curses and blessings in the Torah over the Jewish nation, so there you see that there's a specific relationship that exists between God and the Jewish nation. They're going to be an example in terms of the great goodness that you have if you live properly, and also the great tragedies that will befall if you go against God's word. All right?
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right, so maybe we'll wrap it up here. Pick up next week, same time. Sounds good?
Yeah. Rabbi, I want to make a comment about the article that you wrote about knowing. I always had the feeling that belief in God, in the article in the Jewish Times this week, I always had the feeling that belief in God, if you had belief in God, then that was always enough. But I understand that knowing is so much stronger. And I wanted to thank you for writing that article. I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
You're welcome. But you see that belief is not something which is sufficient.
No, knowing it. You have to know it. And belief, somebody can move you. Somebody can move you when you have a belief. But if you know, nobody can budge you from that spot.
Exactly.
And that's what you need. That you're really grounded. You're really rooted in it. That meant it's solid. You're in solid ground. Yeah, it's very important.
Right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Sometimes the obvious isn't always obvious. You know, as old as we get, you know, we could be not just chosen okay, but adults, even with adults, the obvious isn't always obvious, and we need to have it put in front of us in black and white. And
well,
that makes it more concrete.
Okay, so I guess we'll wrap it up and pick up next week then.
Okay.
All right, bye.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Have a great week.
You too, everybody.
Yeah, everybody be well. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.